number three of the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa right here at the tip of the strip in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, down in Miami. A good basketball game going on between the Miami Heat and the Brooklyn Nets. The Heat trying to snap a three-game losing streak, and right now trailing by 3 points. It'll be Kyrie Irving as the only member of the big three in the lineup the rest of the way for the Nets. Kevin Durant went out early in this game with a contusion to his left thigh, but right now Brooklyn on top, West 77-74. As far as the live line here at BetMGM, they are 3.5-point favorites. Your total has ticked down a little bit now to 230.5 in game.
Yeah, the second half total, I believe, was 109, 108.5, so 233, 232.5 if you took the halftime line. So currently a little bit above that as the pace has slowed a little bit. Now 77-74, 5:20 left to go in South Beach in the third quarter.
And over to the ice, the Golden Knights have added a goal, now 3-1 over the Anaheim Ducks. They won 4-0 on Friday night, that game staying under the total of 5.5. Now that 5.5 total for today's game being threatened in a big way with 4 goals on the board. 3-1 in favor of the Golden Knights. Now minus 2,000 on the money line, Wes. And you and I were thinking possible under again in this game. The lack of offense for the Anaheim Ducks and the good goaltending by Gibson, but now your in-game total up to 7.5.
Yeah, not a lot around Anaheim and John Gibson. He is a really good goaltender, but he has to be great all the time when you don't have the talent and they've been banged up anyway. So opportunity for VGK to get 2 points and so far taking advantage of it.
And right now, if you're holding the Buffalo Sabres ticket, you've got 13 minutes left to cash that one as better than 2-1 underdogs against the Pittsburgh Penguins at home today. And 2-0 is your score. Buffalo hanging on as they got a goal in the first period and the second. Now into the third period, 13 minutes left to go. Again, 2-0 Sabres. They are minus 1,100 on the money line. Your in-game total all the way down to 3.5. And the New York Rangers and the New Jersey Devils. How about this? The Rangers doubled up New Jersey 6-3 on Saturday, got out to an early 3-0 lead on the Devils today. We're all tied now, Mr. Reynolds, 3 apiece.
BK, I knew that was going to happen when I turned the TVs in our studio here at South Point. I saw 3-0, I thought, okay, this game is over. And the New Jersey Devils, Nico Hischler just scored a goal here in the third period, about 15 minutes left to go in New Jersey, now all tied at 3.
And it is over indeed, as there's now 6 goals on the board there between New Jersey and the New York Rangers. On to the baseball diamonds, and we still have that 5-5 tie between the Milwaukee Brewers and the Pittsburgh Pirates. They were tied at 3 for a good portion of this game. Pittsburgh broke it open to make it 5-3. Milwaukee came right back, tied it up again at 5 apiece. Pittsburgh now batting in the top of the 8th inning. Again, 5 apiece for the Pirates and the Brewers. The Blue Jays and Royals, the Royals are on the board, and they add a score here now 2-0 over the Toronto Blue Jays. And this one has just gone final, yes. West. So Kansas City now winning the nightcap in the doubleheader on Saturday makes it 2 in a row over Toronto with a 2-0 victory and leading the AL Central.
Yeah, and Robbie Ray does not get the L here, despite the fact that he did walk 6 in 5 innings. Kansas City 2-run shot, bottom of the 7 from Salvi Perez, and that was enough. 2-0 win, only 2 hits for the Jays today.
And the San Diego Padres have 2 down on the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are batting in the top of the 3rd inning. LA is threatening once again with runners at 1st and 2nd. Blake Snell still on the hill for San Diego. Again, 2 out and 2 on in the top of the 3rd as the Dodgers bat in that one with a 2-0 early lead on San Diego. The Oakland Athletics are on the board, West, trying to make it a sweep of the Detroit Tigers in the 4th inning, home half of the 4th inning in Oakland. They lead Detroit 1-0 and have moved to minus 500 favorites on the money line.
Laureano with the triple, nobody out, scores Canna. So man on third now, nobody out here in the bottom of the 4th for the A's, who take the 1-0 lead over Detroit. Colorado also on the board. Charlie Blackman brings in Trevor Story, bottom of the 7th, 2-1. Marcus Stroman still out there in the 7th inning. Very low pitch count, only 75 pitches, but now has allowed the first run there in Colorado. So Rockies with the man on, two outs in Coors Field. Also going to extras, no runs on the board in Texas between Baltimore and Texas. This is not the old days of the ballpark in Arlington where the ball would fly out down there in Arlington and 0-0 go into the 10th inning between the O's and the Rangers.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you if you thought that thing was going to stay scoreless all the way to extra frames there. And sure enough, it is 0-0 between the O's and the Rangers. And as far as the Mets and the Rockies, it's never under until it's over at Coors Field, right?
No, it's not. Mets do get out of it. Marcus Stroman does get out a little bit of a jam here in the bottom of the seventh. So we'll go to the eighth inning in Coors Field. Mets 2, Rockies 1.
All right, let's shift here and go to some NFL season win totals. Yes, believe it or not, they are already out at our friends over at BetMGM. And they were discussing it earlier today on the Lombardi line, Patrick Maher and Michael Lombardi. And I'll start you with one that I think is kind of a popular play. We've already seen the juice move on it. And we were talking about this to Mike Piranio, the director of race and sports at Mandalay Bay on Saturday. And he kind of pointed us in this direction. But the Washington football team, Michael Lombardi really likes over their season win total. And this is very early. Obviously, we still have a week and a half before the draft, possible more free agency moves and whatnot, free agency signings after the draft. And the schedule is out as far as what teams or divisions they're going to compete against. But we don't know when bye weeks are. There's no order to the schedule. So very early postings of season win totals. But for the Washington football team right now at BetMGM, the number is 8, and it is shaded to the over at minus 130, and Michael's on the over 8 wins for Washington.
Yeah, and I'm not shocked to see the WFT get support on the season wins over. I actually lean that way myself. And look, a lot of believers in Fitzmagic. Of course, we looked at what happened with Washington last year. Look at who was starting at quarterback, Dwayne Haskins, who they eventually released during the middle of the season. Alex Smith came back from all of those injuries and tried to do the best he could. An admirable effort, but obviously, not near the quarterback he was, and you actually had to have Taylor Heinicke start in the playoff game, was very respectable in a loss to Tampa Bay. But one thing you know about this Washington football team is they have a really good defense.
They
have a lot of really good pass rushers, including Chase Young, who's going to be a Pro Bowler probably for as long as he darn well pleases in the National Football League or as long as he stays healthy. But Washington, very good on defense. And look, now you've got Fitzmagic. And he certainly is a competent quarterback. I mean, he would come in cold off the bench last year, Brady, in Miami, as Brian Flores didn't have any bashfulness about having a quick hook for Tua Tagovailoa. And Fitz would come in cold off the bench and really perform for that team for Miami. So he signs now with Washington. I don't think he's a multiple-year guy. He's kind of a temporary fix until they can really develop a quarterback going forward.
Well, they may go after one in the draft, right?
Sure. And maybe not in the first round. You can get a good developmental quarterback. I mean, there are guys drafted in the second, third, and fourth round
Absolutely.
That do start in this National Football League. So Fitz
one of them
is
plays
the
for Tampa Bay.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Fitz is the guy right now, though, I think, for Washington. So there's a lot of confidence in this team. You've got a division where nobody was really great last year. Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts now going to be the full-time starter this season. And the fact that you have a new coach, and Nick Sirianni comes over from Indianapolis, was the offensive coordinator under Frank Reich. You have Dallas. Dak is coming back. So if he comes back healthy, obviously that offense was very good, but that defense was not very good down there in Big D. So they need a lot of work on that side of the football. And then the New York Giants were kind of a middling team on defense. Daniel Jones still developing at quarterback. They need some playmakers on that offense. So it's a wide open division, and it looks like Washington probably has the least question marks amongst those NFC East teams.
They are all tied in the basketball game in Miami, 79 apiece between the Brooklyn Nets and the Miami Heat. 2 minutes left to go in the third quarter there. Blake Snell and the San Diego Padres get out of the little mini jam there, and Trevor Bauer back to work in the bottom of the third inning. Nobody on with one out as the Dodgers lead there 2-0. Let me ask you about a couple of other season win totals here, and I want to go to the NFC South. I think both of these teams are very interesting. They didn't have awful seasons last year. It might look that way in the win-loss column, but the Atlanta Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers. They are both listed at BetMGM with win totals of 7.5. And you know, Wes, how the NFL is such a seesaw league. You go from worst to first. You have a bad season, the next year you have a good season. It's even like that week to week. You have a bad game, the next week you have a good game. I would want to lean towards over the season win totals for both of these teams. Not only do I think they will be on the rebound and improve this year, games. Especially Carolina really gave Kansas City fits, gave the Green Bay Packers fits. I would lean towards over the season win for both Atlanta and Carolina out of the NFC South.
Well, a new coach and GM down in Atlanta, Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator from Tennessee, now takes over down there in Atlanta. Also a new general manager with Tom Dimitroff out, now Terry Fontenot in, who spent the last 18 years with New Orleans. So he comes in, tries to bring in a winning culture to Atlanta. Just looking at the schedule, and you mentioned we don't know the order, but we do know the opponents. And if you're just looking within the division, look, Tampa Bay is still going to be the favorite, but do they come back a little bit to earth? They do have some older players, so including that quarterback who won his how many Super Bowls now does he?
I've lost count. Seven, maybe?
Yes. So he won another one, but he's still going to be a year older. And obviously, they're now the target in the division. New Orleans projected to take a dip now with Drew Brees out. Maybe that's an overreaction, though, because it's now 9 on the win total. So you're basically saying, okay, if you want to go over, you got to be 10-7. Is that doable with Taysom Hill, likely as the quarterback, or Jameis Winston? They did fine without Drew Brees. This defense is still very good in New Orleans. So maybe, you know, I need to do a little bit more digging before I jump in on that over. But I think a little bit of an overreaction with Drew Brees' retirement. They still got a lot of talent on that team. And to your point about Atlanta and Carolina, Atlanta does have some weapons on offense. Look, they have
Matt
Ryan.
We say that every year, don't we?
Yeah, and then they disappoint. But you were right about Atlanta. They were 4-12 last year, but they lost so many close games.
Remember the one in Dallas?
They would frustrate bettors over and over again. Remember the Nick Foles game when he took the job from Mitch Trubisky and came back? That was a game Atlanta had Chicago dead to rights there, and Chicago finds a way to get a win, and then Nick Foles got the starting job from Money Mitch, who's now in Buffalo. But Atlanta, their talent at the top is good. I still think Matt Ryan still has something left in the tank. Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Grady Jarrett, a very good defensive tackle, a very good run stopper. They need to get that talent better on defense. Even though the defensive numbers were better than projected, if you look up and down that side of the ball on the roster, not a lot of talent there. So I do need to see a little bit of improvement by Atlanta. Carolina now, second year of Matt Rhule and Joe Brady. But which quarterback are they going to have? Is it going to be Sam Darnold? And it looks like it is going to be. Teddy Bridgewater was 4-11 in his starting role last year at the Panthers. Darnold, of course, 13-25 for his career as a starter with the New York Jets. Panthers improved a little bit on defense and free agency in terms of linebacker, but I still think that they need a lot of help, especially on defense. Now people are going to point to the offense. You got two offensive coaches with Rhule and Brady. They believe in their system. But this is a team that still needs talent. Of those two teams, I think Atlanta might be more privy to go over that win total in Carolina.
84-86, the Miami Heat lead the Brooklyn Nets by 2 points after three quarters. They are currently at the quarter break. They'll head back to the fourth quarter here momentarily. Again, the Miami Heat up by 2 points. Want to ask you about one more team, and that is the Cleveland Browns. Of course, they've been kind of the darling of the offseason for what seems like certainly the past two seasons and a little bit this season too. You know, they really had a great campaign last year and got into the playoffs, you know, had a little bit of a meltdown towards the end of the season, but absolutely made some noise in the postseason. I thought Baker Mayfield looked great. I mean, the change of scenery there in Cleveland was absolutely evident last season, and now it is reflected in their projected win total here. The BetMGM folks are putting it at 10 and a little bit of juice on the over at -115. I tell you, Wes, I think that's the only way I could probably go. I think this team, I would not be surprised if they continued to improve. I like the changes they've made in Cleveland. We saw it, you know, the proof was in the pudding last season. And in that division, you know, I don't, Cincinnati's not going to go and win it, are they?
No, they'll be better, but you might not see it in the win column.
And Pittsburgh was so disappointing down the stretch after starting out the season undefeated.
And that quarterback's not getting any younger. Can they find a way to get that offense better? That defense is a championship defense in
sure.
Pittsburgh, and Baltimore always is good defensively. But JVT and I were discussing that on My Guys in the Desert this week right here on Visa. And JVT kind of liked the under a little bit on Pittsburgh, and I liked it a little bit on Baltimore. Mm-hmm. To your point of liking Cleveland over is the fact that Baltimore, is Lamar Jackson capable of finally making that leap? Because they kind of figured him out a little bit last year, and he wasn't able to make a lot of plays down the field, so they figured out how to defend him. So he's got to continue his development for that Ravens team to get any better. They'll win double-digit games just on the basis of that talent, but I don't know if they're going over 11.
Trevor Bauer gets out of the bottom of the third. It is the Dodgers back at the plate now with a 2-0 lead in the top of the fourth inning, trying to pull off the sweep at Petco Park. It's still tied at 5 apiece between the Pirates and the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll come back and update all the scores here, hockey, basketball, and baseball, as the Green Zone rolls on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back to the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you. An update on the golf, and it was fresh off of a 12th place finish at the Masters, Wes. Stewart Cink, we were talking about this in our coverage of the first major of the year. If you finish in the top 12 at Augusta, you get invited back if you're not already qualified. And Stewart Cink, who's just about ready for the senior tour, was able to get a win in the last season at the Safeway Open up in Napa. A rare win for Stewart Cink. So finishing 12th was really a big deal because he was going to get to come back to the Masters the following year, despite not making it or qualifying for it otherwise. Well, he may qualify for it otherwise. Mm-hmm. Here is maybe that 12th place finish has been a springboard for Stewart Cink, because he's now a minus 5,000 betting favorite to go on and close this out at the RBC Heritage. The third time it looks like that he'll get to slip on the tartan plaid jacket, as he is now four strokes out in front with four holes left to play. But, you know, we talked about it as far as this golf tournament as well. Very odd for a guy to do really well at the Masters and then follow it up with a good performance here at Harbortown.
Absolutely. It is now a three-shot lead, though, because Emiliano Grillo just chipped in on 16, and Harold Varner birdies 18. He is the now leader in the clubhouse, 66, 5-under round today, minus 15. Grillo minus 15 with two holes left to play. If Stewart Cink's able to pull this off, first multi-win season on the PGA Tour since 2004, when he last won this event here in Harbortown, the Heritage, and he's already won this year at the Safeway Open, as you mentioned, in that wraparound season. So a 17-year gap for Stewart Cink, and the fact that he has not hardly made a putt today. He's lost almost two strokes on the greens today. He has made 19 feet of putts today.
Wow.
And nobody has been able to catch him. So still some time, but the hour is getting late down there in Hilton Head, as he is now, I believe, with three holes left to play. But Manny Grillo chips in for birdie on 16, so now 15 under par. Cink has three holes left to play, three-shot lead.
Do you know how old Stewart Cink is? I was just trying to look it up here.
47. He's about to turn 48, I believe, here. I want to say in a couple months, but he, of course, got that win and not won in a long time when he won out in Napa last September. So Stewart Cink trying to stay out on the PGA Tour until he's 50 before he can go to the Champions. He will turn 48 in May.
Okay, so he's got a little ways before he is going to reach the Champions Tour. But, of course, Phil Mickelson has taken that tour by storm with two wins already on the Champions Tour. Stewart Cink will certainly be a force to reckon with when he makes it to the Champions Tour in a couple of couple of years as well, and right now a force to be reckoned with on the PGA Tour. The San Diego Padres are on the board. They launch one off of Trevor Bauer in the home half of the fourth inning now, Wes. 2-1 in favor of the Dodgers as San Diego tries to avoid being swept at home by their NL West rival.
Cronenworth goes Yabo on a solo shot here. Bottom of the fourth now, 2-1. That's just the second hit for the Padres today as Trevor Bauer, that's kind of all he does in terms of giving up hits or long balls. He doesn't really get hit around the ballpark and certainly hasn't today so far. Just two hits, given up one walk, four strikeouts on Bauer's side. Blake Snell on his side, six strikeouts, two walks, two hits, and two earned runs.
Trevor Bauer, the shutout has been erased again, the home run for the San Diego Padres, but he is able to get Fernando Tatis out for the second time this ballgame as he lines out to Justin Turner. Brooklyn Nets and Miami Heat, a good ballgame here now into the fourth quarter. 9 minutes left in the final frame, and Miami is currently hanging on to just a one-point lead, and it is 89-88. Miami went off as a home underdog here, trying to snap a three-game losing skid. Right now, they are the in-game betting favorite at -1.5, and your total continues to fall here. A precipitous drop in the in-game total, West, now down to 220.5.
Yeah, when you see a lot of those high-scoring first halves, one thing I've had success with NBA betting is if it goes over substantially in the first half, you can come back with that second half under, because usually the defense is going to show in the second 24 minutes, and that's kind of been the way it's gone here so far in the NBA. So 90-89, and just as I say that, Goran Dragic's layup, 91-90, Miami Heat, 8.5 to go. Pittsburgh does get an extra attacker on, does score a goal here, but they're down 4-2 to the Sabres here in the final minute in Buffalo.
And Manny Machado at the plate for the San Diego Padres. Nobody on with two outs. Make that one out. Nobody on with one out. Padres trailing 2-1. And Machado got a hit earlier off of Trevor Bauer in this game. Has an incredible record at the plate against Bauer. I believe it's 11 of 18. We'll update that game when we come back on the other side as the Green Zone rolls on right here on VSiN. Season never ends, and it's time to get your bets ready for the NFL draft. The teams are evaluating the prospects, and our football experts are looking for betting opportunities. We're looking at team needs, position props, and future markets to find the best bets on the board. Get full coverage at VSiN.com, daily best bet email updates, 24/7 video access. Plus, we'll be live all night long during round one with Brent Musburger, Michael Lombardi, Gil Alexander, and Mike Pritchard, and all of our VSiN football experts. Learn more and start your free trial at VSiN now. That's VSiN.com. VSiN.com/subscribe for a free trial. That NFL draft is getting awful exciting. And Wes, you may have heard me say this before. I kind of like the draft actually better than the regular season. I love watching these kids and the college, you know, kids and the excitement and who the strategy of how teams are going to maneuver. That 4-day extravaganza, especially the first couple of rounds, is really a lot of fun.
Yeah, without question. And the fact that they've spread it out with the first round getting prime time coverage and then rounds 2 and 3 and then 4 through 7. This used to be a 2-day deal and then you felt it kind of would drag. But now that it's spread out a little bit, I think definitely better in that regard. Couple hockey scores that did go final over our last break. Rangers do get an empty netter and make it 5-3. So if you laid that puck in half and laid the puck line, you got there with the Blue Shirts 5-3. They can pick up 2 points. Pittsburgh does not pick up 2 points. 4-2. Buffalo Sabres, I believe, at BetMGM, they close +235. And there was higher prices elsewhere in the market. So Sabres, look, they're not very good. They're eliminated from the playoffs. Only team in the NHL to have that distinction, if you want to call it distinction, but they
dysfunction,
go ahead. Dysfunction, rather. That would probably be a better word, actually. So Sabres, look, they beat the Capitals on Thursday night, and they beat the Penguins tonight. So you get a lot of these teams that are out of it. I don't think in the NHL you really get a tankapalooza type of thing.
No.
You really get, I think, good efforts even out of bad teams, and you certainly got one out of the Sabres today.
In the world of basketball, one game currently going on in the association, the Brooklyn Nets visiting the Miami Heat, and a good ball game right now. They are separated by just 2 points, 99-97. The Miami Heat leading Brooklyn with just about 5.5 minutes left in this contest. Also a good game going on in the Diamonds down at Petco Park between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Diego Padres. Manny Machado has this guy Trevor Bauer's number, gets another hit off of Bauer, his second hit in the game. He is now 12 for 19 off of Bauer in his career. Manny manages to steal second base as well. So the Padres have a runner in scoring position with two down in the bottom of the fourth. They are currently trailing the Dodgers 2-1 in that ballgame, trying to avoid the sweep. And Baltimore and Texas, West, bottom of the 10th inning, still no score. They're giving you a guy at second base, and they still can't put one across.
Sacks packed, though. Two outs for the Texas Rangers. Nick Logan try to get the game-winning run. And by the way, let's get a quick racing update. Alex Palou, first ever IndyCar win, holds off Will Power at the line. So wins the Honda Indy GP of Alabama, the opening race, really, for the IndyCar series. So Chip Ganassi gets another IndyCar win with Alex Palou. Denny Hamlin, 100 laps to go in Richmond in the NASCAR Cup race, is leading by about 2 seconds over Joey Logano, his teammate, or former teammate, I should say. But Denny Hamlin, your leader in the NASCAR race, 100 laps to go in Richmond.
And just as we say, scoreless in Texas, the Rangers, you mentioned the bases
Nick
were loaded.
Nick Lowe, the man of the hour. Nick Lowe, cruel to be kind. Wasn't that his song?
Yes, absolutely.
Nick Lowe, he was cruel to the Baltimore Orioles as he gets the game-winning hit and the game-winning run driven in. So 1-0 bottom of the 10th, and now final in 10 innings, Rangers over the Orioles.
And also into extra innings are the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Milwaukee Brewers at Miller Park. And right now, Pittsburgh at the plate, and they're able to get that runner home from second base in extra innings, now taking a 6-5 lead in the top of the 10th, and they are still hitting, trying to tack on more here. They have got a runner at second base, so still a runner in scoring position for the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are trying to get their 7th win of the season. We were talking about this earlier, Wes. Obviously, the Pittsburgh Pirates were not expected by many to do very well in the NL Central, but actually off to a pretty decent start, trying to get their 7th win of the season here today.
Yeah, Colin Moran has been doing the damage all day for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Had that 3-run shot in the top of the 3rd to give them the lead in the first place. And then a double gets the runner in, gets Reynolds in, no relation from second base. So 6-5, nobody out as of yet for the Pirates. They are still batting against the Brew Crew.
And still a very low-scoring ball game at Coors Field between the Mets and the Colorado Rockies. This total closed at about 10.5 here at BetMGM. Right now, just 3 runs on the board. 2 for the New York Mets, just 1 for the home club Rockies. 2-1 in favor of the New York Mets, and they are in the top of the 9th inning trying to add some insurance there, as, of course, Colorado will have the last say in this ball game. Now the Detroit Tigers have taken the lead over the Oakland A's, West, trying to avoid the sweep there at the Oakland Coliseum. A's went off as a pretty decent sized favorite today, crept up to about, I believe, minus 150 or so, and they are trailing Detroit 2-1. Detroit still batting in the top of the 6th.
Yeah, Matthew Boyd only 55 pitches through 5 innings. He'll get a shot here in the bottom of the 6th. Chris Bassett gives up a 2-run single to Castro, so 2-1 runner on first here for Detroit, top of the 6th.
Dodgers and Trevor Bauer are able to stop the momentum there for the San Diego Padres. They do put up 1 run in the inning, but Dodgers now coming back to the plate in the top of the 5th with a 2-1 lead there. And the Milwaukee Brewers are able to stop the threat by the Pittsburgh Pirates. They'll now, oh no, still 2 outs. I thought that was the 3rd out there. So the Pirates still batting in the top of the 10th with the lead 6-5. Of course, Milwaukee will have the last chance there. The Boston Red Sox and Chicago White Sox are underway in the second half of their doubleheader, Wes, and the White Sox, who won the opener, are out to a 1-0 lead here early in the second inning. Boston at the plate at home at Fenway.
Michael Kopech in his return, first start, I believe, on September 5th, 2018 was the date I gave. That was his last start. Of course, had the Tommy John surgery, kept him out for 2019, opted out last year due to COVID-19 for the 2020 season, has two strikeouts through 1 2/3 innings.
The Houston Astros and the Seattle Mariners still locked at one apiece in the fifth inning there from Seattle. Seattle, of course, got the loss on Saturday. Houston snapped a six-game losing streak in a 1-0 final over the Mariners. And you mentioned the trend. We're starting to see these unders pile up here, Wes. We saw a 1-0 game with the Angels the other day. Also in Seattle last night between the Astros and the Mariners, and a lot of low-scoring games today, even a 2-1 affair right now at Coors Field.
And that was Nate Lowe, by the way, not Nick Lowe, the winning hit for the Rangers. So forget my cruel to be kind reference from Nick Lowe.
Ah, that's okay. We'll let
it slide, please. Thank you.
All right, one more segment to go, and then we pass it off to the VSiN Bet Center. Ben Wilson and Josh Towers talking baseball with you for the next 3 hours following this program. Great to have Josh Towers breaking down baseball with us. That tells us it's baseball season when Mr. Towers is back in the house here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Basketball, baseball, or hockey with a risk-free first bet up to $600 at BetMGM. Simply sign up and use the bonus code VSIN600, and you're on your way to betting with the king of sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use the promo code VSIN600 to make a risk-free bet up to $600. It's a new customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, 800-889-9789 and 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. The promotional offer is not available in Nevada. Looks like Stuart Sink is going to slip on the tartan plaid jacket at Harbortown for the third time in his career as he gets the second win in just the last calendar year. Won the Safeway Open up in Napa in the wraparound season not long ago. That got him into the Masters. Last week he finished 12th there at Augusta, and he finishes on, or picks up right where he left off here at Harbortown. Now has a 3-shot lead with just 2 holes to play. Emiliano Grillo is three shots back at 15 under par. He is playing the 18th hole right now. Harold Varner is in the clubhouse at 15 under par, and Sink at 18 under par, even par on his round for the day, Wes, and it looks like that's going
to
be enough.
Yeah, and if I could take a minute to give a shout out to a Long Shots guest, also has been guest on another other programs here on VSiN, that would be Dave Tindall.
Yes.
At Dave Tindall Golf, and he had this tweet out before this tournament, and I'll read it very quickly. In the debate on whether to back someone if they've done well at the Masters, there is a player in the Heritage Field whose first 5 wins of his career came the week after a major, including 2 here.
Wow.
Tied for 12th at Augusta, his finishes in those majors before he won a week later. 13th, 28th, 17th, 17th, 14th. So right around that range. And then the last line, of course, is sink or swim. Question mark. Well, you are not sinking. You are swimming multiple laps, Mr. Tindall. 125-1. I think was his odds this week, but nevertheless, it was Dave Tindall that put that out as they're showing Stuart Sink's son, Reagan, with a big smile. Stuart Sink birdie 17. He will go to the 72nd hole here at Harbortown with a 4-shot lead, rather.
Yeah, and it looks like it is all but over for Stuart Sink. Congratulations to him. And speaking of Dave Tindall, he will be our guest on Long Shots again for the upcoming PGA Championship at Kiawah Island in South Carolina.
Right, I know. Here. If he does tips like that, though, we're going to want him every darn week overseas.
Well, he's looking good in South Carolina so far. So we'll travel about 2 hours to the north to Kiawah and see if Mr. Tindall can stay red hot. Let's look at the basketball game here. The Brooklyn Nets really went on quite a run, but still just a two-point game as Miami comes back to make it tight once again. Just 45 seconds left in this contest, Wes. Brooklyn on top, 107-105.
Yeah, very tight game. Brooklyn, I believe, had an 11-0 run when it made it 103-99. It is Nets ball just inside of a minute to go down here in American Airlines Arena down in South Beach. And the closer, I believe, on this game, it was Brooklyn minus five. They were basically +2 for the full game. If you take the second half, that is a missed shot, and Miami is about to tie this game. That will be Goran Dragic with the layup. 43.6 left to go, all tied at 107 in
the
Miami.
Euro move through the paint there for Dragic, and he ties this game. We might be headed for extra
and Chris
basketball
Rock
again.
Approves as he is down there in South Beach taking in this game, masked and socially distanced, of course, a New York native. So a very entertaining game for Mr. Rock to attend this afternoon.
After two periods in Anaheim, the Vegas Golden Knights are doubling up the Anaheim Ducks 4-2. This game already over the total. Prior to puck drop, it was 5.5, and right now 4-2 in favor of Vegas. Your in-game total still at 7.5. So interesting to see that number there. It was at 7.5 much earlier and sticking there right now as far as the in-game line. Vegas minus 5,000 on the money line to get this one into the win column. It would be their second straight over the Anaheim Ducks, who, of course, they shut out on Friday night 4-0 down at the pond. We go back to the baseball, and the Milwaukee Brewers and Pittsburgh Pirates still at 6-5. They are in extra innings. The Pirates were able to add a run in the top half of the 10th to make it 6-5. Now Milwaukee in the bottom half of the inning, trailing by a run, trying to tie this thing up again, Wes.
Yeah, they are. Dan Vogelbach, who did tie it up, I believe, in the bottom of the 7th, he is due up first. So trying to take another one yard at Miller Park is Vogelbach to be able to tie this game and see if they can lead to a Brewers victory. 6-5 currently now going into the bottom of the 10th. Last chance for the Colorado Rockies right now. It's Edwin Diaz trying to get the save for the New York Mets. Trevor Story up at bat. Not a lot of runs in this game. Just a 2-1 mark here for the Mets. Bottom of the ninth, and only three hits for the Colorado Rockies as Trevor Story does get on base here. So it will be up to Charlie Blackmon to see if he can get him home. Get him on, get him over, get him in is what they say. So Rockies still breathing here in the bottom of the ninth, trailing by a run.
The Detroit Tigers and Oakland Athletics also mired in a 2-1 affair, this one in favor of the visiting Tigers, who are trying to avoid the sweep here at the Oakland Coliseum. Top of the 7th inning, Detroit at the plate, leading Oakland 2-1. The Oakland A's, this is interesting, Wes, on the in-game line, better than 2-1 to come back and win this game. +210 on the Oakland Athletics on the live market. That looks kind of attractive to me. Detroit with just a one-run lead, and we know the Tigers are a little bit of a shaky team.
Well, Matt Boyd only with 70 pitches through six innings, so likely I would think he'd be brought out for the seventh, considering how the bullpen has been for the Detroit Tigers. So you want your starters to be able to go the distance or as far into the distance as they can. Top of the seventh currently, Diekman on for the A's in relief of Chris Bassett. It is 2-1 Tigers.
And Los Angeles still leading San Diego 2-1.
Buzzer beater. Sorry to interrupt, Brady. We have a buzzer beater in Miami.
Wow.
Bam Adebayo at the buzzer gets the win for the Miami Heat. 109-107 is your final score. If you had over tickets, it's undertime today. It's not overtime today as Bam Adebayo hits the game-winning bucket. 109-107 Miami Heat as they now go to one game over 500. Still in that seventh spot. Brooklyn falls to 38-19, second spot in the Eastern Conference.
I tell you what, I hope the rest of the NBA card is like the first two games today, or two out of the first three games, rather. The New York Knicks went to overtime with the New Orleans Pelicans, and then this one was a barn burner here in Miami with Adebayo getting that shot, like you say, at the buzzer. There was just about 3 seconds left when he caught that basketball, drove to the left side into the paint a little bit there, gets the separation and a fallaway jumper as the clock reads 00 and Miami gets the victory over the Brooklyn Nets. Let's take a look at Sunday night baseball. We're hoping for some good NBA action. We're hoping for some good baseball action as well, as the Atlanta Braves will be at Wrigley Field to take on the Chicago Cubs. And on Saturday, we were talking about this anemic Chicago offense. They broke out for 13 runs. It included 6 home runs by the Chicago Cubs as they got the victory on Saturday over the Atlanta Braves 13-4. Tonight, it'll be Bryce Wilson facing Kyle Hendricks, and the Braves only 2.5 games out of first place in the National League East. But the Cubs, despite yesterday's win, still, that is only 3 wins in their last 10 games. Cubs favored here at Wrigley Field. And at last look, Wes, they had been steamed up to minus 145 on the money line with a total of 9.
Yeah, that's starting to seem a little rich here. I know this is Bryce Wilson's first start since, of course, that game 4 in the NLCS against the Dodgers, where he pitched very well and went mano a mano with Clayton Kershaw. So I can understand a little bit of move on the opener to the Cubs, but now this is over a 20-cent move. This would be Braves or nothing for me. I'm already in on the under. Cal Hendricks has been pitching very well, despite the fact that his fastball is basically topping out at like 86 miles an hour right now. But he has some varieties on that fastball, 4-seamer, 2-seamer, really mixes up his pitches very well. I know the Cubs got it going yesterday, had 6 home runs out of the yard at Wrigley yesterday. Wind blowing out slightly to center, not very much, though. I like the matchup between these two pitchers. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. And you look at this Cubs lineup. Ian Happ hitting 163. Wilson Contreras, 282. He had 2 home runs yesterday. 229 for Rizzo. 261 for Bryant. Jock Peterson, newest Chicago Cub, 114. Javi Baez, 192. Jason Hayward, 213. David Bote, 156. The Braves haven't exactly been hitting the cover off the ball except for Ronald Acuña Jr. in that leadoff spot, 433. So, you know, those bats have not gotten going either, which is why I kind of like the under here in this spot. But as this nears 130 or so, I'd be very interested in the Braves.
Justin Turner laughing there, just caught a infield pop-up off the bat of the San Diego Padres hitter, and as he was running to the ball to catch it, he tripped over third base. I thought he hurt himself there, but no harm done there. And Bauer, of course, making fun of his teammate there, giving the safe sign. The Dodgers having fun, nursing a 2-1 lead currently over the San Diego Padres. The Padres at bat with 1 out and nobody on in the bottom of the 5th. Back to the Sunday night baseball here for a moment, and kind of to your point in wanting to back the Braves and also the under, the Cubs really broke out yesterday offensively. 13 runs, 6 home runs. That's not likely to repeat itself. And right, you went down all the numbers there, the batting average across the lineup there for all these players. I don't think all of a sudden they're going to flip the switch and this becomes an offensive juggernaut overnight.
No, I wouldn't think so either. By the way, we did have one other baseball game go final. Trevor Story, trying to make a steal, was caught stealing to end the game in Colorado. So when you've only got 4 hits, you got to try to manufacture runs some kind of way. Charlie Blackman was up in the dish trying to get him in to tie that ball game, but Trevor Story caught stealing, thrown out by James McCann. And 2-1, your final score at Coors.
All right, coming up next, it is the VSiN Bet Center live from Circa, the resort and casino in fabulous downtown Las Vegas. And it'll be our men Ben Wilson and Josh Towers, all eyes of the country on this San Diego-Los Angeles series at Petco Park. They'll take you all the way through the last half of this ballgame, keep you updated on the scores all across Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NHL. That's going to do it for Wes Reynolds and myself. Thank you to Matt Neverett and Ann Goldstone. Stick with us. Have a great Sunday night with VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.